Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
So, welcome for those of you who are only back now after maybe a long holiday. Some look like they're still on holiday, but that's lekker. And we're busy with a series of three Sundays on knowing God. And it's almost impossible to be able to share in 3-40 minutes on knowing God. But we started off by Paul's prayer in Philippians chapter 2 and Philippians chapter 3. And he said, I want that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to the image of his death. And the cry of Paul's heart to get to know God for who he is, not for what our culture says or determines. Because, you know, sometimes we worship God as an Afrikaans God or as a this God or as an African or a South African or this type of God. But God cannot be defined by culture. You can really, in a sense, either be religious or worship a cultural type of God, and yet we must worship the God of the Bible, the real God. And I think a lot of times in your life, God will set you and me up to sort of just have wow moments. and it's almost like if you're married, Louise and I were almost married for 20 years now. We're going into our 20th year, and it's like, you have these moments regularly of like, wow, woman, who are you? Yeah, it's almost like a side of that woman that you discover. It's like Johan and Estelle now. Johan discovers that he has got no time to play with the kids, with the grandchildren, because she spoils them all the time. So the 10 minutes that he gets, I'm only making a joke. it's just a new season of grandmother and grandfather, you know. So we're on this journey to discover who God is, and yet in us sometimes what we do is we sort of arrive. We sort of think like, oh, you know, I'm going to become a professional Christian, and then we lose that hunger. John Yip calls it the holy discontent. we lose that passion because we sort of almost settle in the season that we're in. And we're all going through different seasons. So there's some people here that barely can stay awake this morning because your children kept you awake through the night, you know. And sort of you just think like, yeah, I'm coming to church just to catch up with some of my life, you know, just to have an hour of resting, you know. And the peace of the Lord is with you today. But, you know, we're all in different seasons. And yet in that season, God wants to reveal himself to you and I. But the hunger, the seeking, the asking, the knocking will determine how God can show himself to us. It's not that he doesn't want to. It's almost like our position to who he is. And that's our prayer today, that we were all just through the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We'll ever have those wow moments of just standing still. And that's why we have to have quiet time, and we have to get those moments with God where we say, God, whoa. You're huge. You're like a massive God. And I trust through some of the things that we'll be sharing about the nature of God, not the character of God. The character is his love, but we're going to talk a bit about his nature. And his nature, the whole idea of this morning is that the Holy Spirit will just take something of our hearts and say, whoa, how big is our God? But let me pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. That you are the teacher, you're the one who bring revelation, Lord. We are not here because we want a nice sermon or we want nice words. We want to see the Father. We want to see your heart. We want to know you. And Lord, yet this morning we come to just consecrate our bodies, our emotions, our spirits to you. And we say, let your kingdom come. We are here for you, God. You are not here for us. We are here to serve you, to glorify your name, to make your name great. And today, Lord, we pray that everything that resists the knowledge of Christ in your heart will be removed. Every anxiety, every heaviness, every depression, everything that wants to keep us away from seeing who you really are. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We know nothing, but we want to know you. We have not arrived, Lord. As a church, as individuals, we say, Lord, you come and build your church today. Thank you for the freedom we have. Holy Spirit, I pray even this morning that you will heal people of fears. Remove heaviness. Remove stuff, Lord, even as we're speaking and as we in your presence today, Lord. Physical ailments, depression, stuff, voices, that only your voice will be heard today. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. So my question today is, if somebody walks up to you on the street and says, who is God? And you have got one word, two words, three words to answer. What is the first thing that comes to mind? Just say it out. If I come to you, a stranger, who's God? Creator of all. Just say it. Say what comes to mind. Love. Savior, Almighty, I am. Abba, Father, just some more words. We say, who is God? Just shout it out. Energy. Yes, I can hear all of you together. That's great. But all of us have a perception of who God is. When I grew up, I thought like God is this old man with a stick up there that is just sin conscious. And I thought, like, if I can just be a good person and do nice things. But I remember being traveling up to Angola, and so we rented this bus thing that fell apart a little bit. So now we're going here into the Gamadulas in Angola, and so driving up, and we're getting close to Lubongo. They've got lots of like regions there, so, and the roads were very bad. That's before the Chinese came to take over Africa. And so we're driving up, and we're getting to this little town. It's a Saturday afternoon. Now, we have to minister the next day, but we're behind schedule. And as we get there, the police stops us, and they say, where's these specific papers? And I realize, like, oh, my God, we don't have these papers. The driver told us that he has got it, but we haven't got a specific paper for this police clearance. So now it's Saturday. There's nothing. The electricity of the town is off. There's absolutely nothing happening. So the guys in the team, they're sitting in the bus, and I'm walking around with one of the other leaders, and we're walking around outside up and down, and we're just saying like, oh, no, this is now worst case scenario. We're going to, and so eventually the police says, no, you guys have to go back to South Africa, go back to somewhere up there in the north in Namibia, or not in South Africa, in Namibia, and there you'll get these papers, but you won't get the papers here. So now we're sitting, it's hot, and we're sitting, and eventually I went to sit next to the road, and now I have a moan session with God. You know how we moan if sometimes things doesn't work out? You say, God, you told us to come here. God, why did you not tell us, you know? And it's amazing how sometimes we, especially when the pressure is on, we sort of like start to tell God, you know? We start to tell, blame God, you know, and we say, no, you know, this isn't working out the way I thought, but now obviously it's you. And that moan session, just to be honest, just between the two of us, because pastors can moan as well, went on for 3 hours. Sitting in the sun and nothing is happening. I can just imagine God and the angels sitting up there and the Lord saying to the angels, let's wait for him to finish. What murmuring is there in the camp at the bottom there? You know, 3 hours. I was sitting there. I felt at the end, and now I'm thinking like packing up. And at the end of the 3 hours, the Holy Spirit spoke to me so clearly. He said to me, he asked me the question I'm going to ask you now. How big is your God? And I thought like, oops. And I stopped and something changed in my heart. I said, Lord, I thank you for an opportunity for the impossible to happen, because you are much bigger than the circumstances I'm experiencing right now. As I finished the prayer, a complete stranger, an officer, walks up to me and he hands me a piece of paper. And he says, are you from South Africa? Are you like Josias LaRue? I said, yes. He says, there's this paper that I found here in the office. It's a police clearance paper. the exact paper we needed. Now, we didn't know anybody. We didn't contact anybody. There's the paper. So I say, thank you very much. Yeah. So we get the paper, go to the roadblock, show the people the paper, and there we go through. So we're driving on. About a half an hour later, I get the shock of my life. Those days, there were still only faxes, okay? I realized that the electricity of the town was off. So it was either one of two things. Either that fax came through and there was no electricity needed for the fax to come through, which is impossible. Or that fax came through the Thursday already when the electricity was on of that town. Meaning that God has already provided 3 days before he came there for what we needed. But he needed my heart to align with his. So the question very simply is, how big is your God? How big is our God? And the greatest sin in the church today is not the immorality and all that stuff. That's sometimes just the fruit of something I believe is very strong. It's called the sin of unbelief. So in the church, we get a lot of unbelieving believers. People that where the Saturday Christian and the Sunday Christian is not the same Christian. People that don't walk the walk. They don't live the Bible. And so unbelief is something that takes hold and grip of us because it's very subtle. And that's why our persecution in the West is much different than what we get in Iran or Pakistan or North Korea. Because there you can see the enemy. But here it's a very subtle, comfortable thing. We enter into a comfortable place where we have no faith and then unbelief takes hold of us. We stop believing that God is big. We start believing that God is great. We stop believing that who God says he is that. And that's why the example, the definition of faith is found for me in Hebrews 11 verse 6. That says, without faith it is impossible to please him because he who comes to God must believe that he is God. And then secondly, you believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what do you have to believe first? Not believe for breakthrough. You have to believe that God is God. You have to believe that he says, and we says he is, and that his promises stands, and he doesn't change. Woo, thank you for those exciting amens, yeah? Because we all settle down. We all sort of like, whoa, okay, no. I've prayed for that sick person, and you know, and people, and that maybe just the will of God, and you know what? We all lose that hunger. We all lose that passion. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will turn that around a bit in our hearts. Listen to this in Ephesians. Again, Paul praying. And I love the prayers and the cries and sort of the urgency with which he calls the church to wake up. And we're talking about knowing God. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and the earth is named. This family is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So he says, there's a prayer, there's a desire that you'll be strengthened in your spiritual man, that you'll stand up, that you will be strong through the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. You're grounded in love. You are... Jy staan vastig in liefde. Jy is gewortel in liefde. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Sure. And listen to this in verse 20. I love this part. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Some translation says abundantly above all that we ask or think or even imagine. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above. Now if you don't get excited about that, then there's trouble in our faith. if we didn't just say no, God can do a little bit more than what you think. God can do a little bit more than what you and I imagine. God can do a little bit more. He doesn't say that. He says exceedingly. That means Superlative, is that the right English? Where's the English teachers here? Okay. It's superlative, superlative. Exceedingly abundantly above. I want you to say this with me. Say, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So imagine you go and take out an hour and you think that, what is the big things God can do? God says he can do exceedingly above even what you think. The question is just, how big is our God? How big is God to you? Maybe you're a first year here and you're afraid and you think like, whoa, there's so many stuff happening. Whoa, I'm afraid I'm going to just fall or backslide. Oh, I'm afraid I'm not going to make my studies. We all have these fears, but God can do exceedingly above anything in your life because that's just who he is. And we sometimes try to so hard, especially in our South African context where we do a lot of competition. We try to be good Christians. We try to fight. We try to be in there. And God says, I can do exceedingly abundantly. And then he says here in verse 21, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus. He always brings it back to the church, what we can ask. Not just what you can ask as an individual, but we can ask. Now imagine we as a church begin to agree and we say, God, on Friday night, we're trusting you that not one lady will be violated or abused on this campus. That not one guy or one gangster from another place, another town, because that's the night when they come, all the gangsters come to rape girls, drunk girls. The other night I saw a girl, 10 o'clock at night, walking. She has got no idea where she's going, just walking in a direction, drunk. Friends left her. What a target. But imagine the church stands up. Imagine the church says, no, in the spirit first, because that's where our battle begins. And then we'd be the hands and the feet of Christ. Now, if that doesn't stir you, then, woo, just think. Just imagine what God can do. Do you believe that God can save this whole town in one day? Do we believe that God can save this whole nation in one day? How big is our God? Sure. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm just busy with the introduction. Lock the doors. Okay, we need to pick up some speed. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You see, we cannot approach God on an intellectual level. It must be through the Holy Spirit. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, then we're going to pray for you because God wants to show you deep things. When you look at the world out there, they're running for happiness, running for a lot of stuff, looking for affirmation, looking for acceptance. But the Holy Spirit wants to take hold of your my spirit and he wants to reveal spiritual things to us. He wants us to see. That's why we sing, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. Because the greatest thing that you can have in your life is the presence of God. It's the word of God. It's the fact that God speaks to you and you know that you're not a slave to things out there. You're a servant of God. We're here to serve him. We're here to glorify him. We're here to live for who he says he is. Now let's look at the Bible just quickly. Some not characteristics, but some parts of the nature of God. There's a guy, A.W. Tozer, we wrote a whole book about this. I think it took me 6 months to read through that book just to understand all the terminology of what he used. Yeah, he's a great teacher. I love some of his books. But he wrote about the supremacy of God, and he wrote about a lot of these things. I'm going to just give us some scriptures. And all I'm trying to do is don't try in your mind to try to figure out God, because then we try to bring God down to our level or to our culture. And I remember a dream that changed my life. It was a very short dream that I had about 3 years ago. I was sitting in heaven on a little bunkie, a little banky, okay? I was sitting there, and then God walked and came to sit next to me in the image of a father. He didn't scream, he didn't shout. And he sat next to me and he said, "Why do the people down there make me so small? Why I'm so big? Why do people down there make me so small?" Because you know what we try to do? We try to fit this big God into our understanding. We try to fit him into our Monday or our Tuesday. And we say, "God, come down, serve me." Well, we need deliverance. We need to realize that he's inviting us to his story. He's inviting us to what he's doing. And the dream was over, and it struck me for days, weeks. I was thinking, "God, how do I make you so small when I'm so trapped in my circumstances and when I'm so trapped in what happens around me?" And God is inviting us today to his story, to what he's doing. Can somebody say amen? So the first thing of God's nature, and there are many, I'm going to just focus on a couple quickly, is God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Listen to this in 1 Timothy 1 verse 17. "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone who is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever." In Matthew 10 it says that even God knows every hair on your head, or how many you have or how little you have, okay? Some are blessed, some are multiplied. I don't know how you want to call that, okay? So God knows, in Matthew 10 he says there, God knows more about you than what you know about yourself. Is there anybody here that knows how many hair they have got on their head? Nobody. Okay, so let's settle that. God knows more about you than what you know about yourself. And that's amazing, because that makes, if we understand that God is all-knowing, it means that every situation that is going to come across your path, of any moment that you can trust him, because he's in a sense already been there. He already sees what's going to happen tomorrow. Isn't that amazing? He's all-knowing. He knows everything. Now, if you're an atheist here today and you say, "Well, God doesn't exist," then I'm going to challenge you on one thing. I'm going to walk up to you and say, "Okay, if you come to me and you say gold does not exist in South Africa, it's an absolute statement. You make an absolute statement that there's no gold in South Africa. Then you must be all-knowing yourself." Meaning that you must know what is in every person's mouth in South Africa, that they don't have a piece of gold in their teeth. You must know what is in every person's room, in their houses, and what's been hidden in every place. You must be all-knowing. So it is very arrogant for any human being to say there is no God. Did you understand what I'm trying to say? Because you're making an absolute statement as if you know everything. And maybe you're going to be surprised one day. But God can make absolute statements. Why? Because he is the truth and he knows everything about you, about the future, about everything. Isn't that amazing to trust a God like that? Sure, I get excited because now I know God, whatever's going to happen today, you know everything. And therefore, Holy Spirit, help me to make the right decisions as I consecrate myself to come into your all knowledge. And that's the amazing thing, what the Holy Spirit also does through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He can show us things of the future. Not just about people's lives, but what is happening. It's called prophecy. It's called the word of wisdom. It's this amazing ability to tap into the third realm and into a place where God knows everything. He alone is wise. The second thing is God is infinite. He's limitless. Listen to this, Psalm 147 verse 3. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." Everything you and I know has got a beginning and an end. It's got a limit. It's got a boundary around it. This thing starts here, ends there. This starts here, ends here. Everything has got a beginning and an end. God has got no beginning and end. So that's why you can't ask a stupid question like, "Who created God?" Because then you don't understand the term God and who God is. Maybe it's an honest question, but it's not a real question if you understand the definition of who God is. But listen to this. He says he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. Whew. I don't know if you looked up, but I can't even count what I see. I'm not even talking about all the galaxies. Okay, are you all still with me? Are you all still all right? Okay, I just want to somewhere that the Holy Spirit will take hold of your spirit and say, okay, wow. And that's why the first million years in heaven, we're going to stand like this. Praise God, no flies. Or mosquitoes in heaven. I mean, I've been always asking, that's one of the first questions I'm going to ask the Lord when I get to heaven. Lord, why mosquitoes? And then the Lord is probably going to say, patience, long suffering. Okay. The third thing is omnipresent. He's omnipresent. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. There will not be one moment when you know God, not one moment where you will be on your own. He says, how low I will be with you. What a promise. He's everywhere. And while we're worshiping here, there are people worshiping in China, people worshiping everywhere in the world. And God has got all his 100% attention on everything we say, everything we think, everything we imagine. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. The fourth thing is omnipotent. Now, these are big words, so it means all-powerful. Revelation 19 verse 6 says, and as I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. All-powerful. He's got no limit to what he can do. Do you believe that this morning? Wave at me if you believe that, you know. That means when Jesus walks into your life, he can speak one word and everything can change. He's not afraid of what we are afraid of, and he cannot think wicked and ugly thoughts. That amazes me about God. God, there's no wickedness in him. He's a good father. He's a good God. So God cannot swear. God cannot lie. God cannot think evil thoughts towards you. Because in essence, his love, in essence, his character is his nature. He's good. Then three more. He's sovereign. And this is a difficult one. That means that he doesn't need to be accountable to anybody else. And that is, unfortunately, where lots of the charismatic church falls off the bus, because we want the presence of God. We want the healings and the deliverances, and that's great. His power. We want to see his power, but you cannot have his power if there is not holiness and fear, the fear of God. That sometimes God is not going to give you an answer, and you have to make a peace with the fact that he's sovereign. Even when you come to bug him, why God? Why? God is just going to be silent, because he wants to teach you that he's sovereign. He's in control. Life is in his hands, and your life, if you will surrender it to him. We don't like to talk about that in the church, especially when we just talk about grace and love, and that's where we start. But you know what? He is sovereign. And that's why he can hold you and me accountable one day. One day, you're going to stand there alone before him. And the whole life, your whole life is going to flash on a massive screen. Everybody is going to see everything that you did, everything that you thought, everything that you said one day. There's going to be a point of accountability. Now, before you run away, I love that there's going to be red screens as well, said censored, deleted, washed away. I mean, you know, because there's some of the stuff that I did in my life that I don't want other people to see. But God has forgotten them. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. And that's what the blood of Jesus does. That's why that red screen is just going to be. And we're going to go like, thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm very, very thankful for the Lord washing my sins away. Then he's eternal. He's eternal. He's self-sufficient. That's why God is the only being that we can worship. We cannot worship man, and we cannot worship any of the other gods, Because all of the other gods are based on fear. If you do this, then I will do this. God says, I love you. Now you have to just choose whether you're going to receive it or not. That's what I love about true Christianity. God will never be proudful. He will never fall for pride because he's self-existing. He's God. He's the real God. He hasn't got I want to prove myself or motivate people by fear or by controlling him. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't wake up with a bad hair day. Why are some of you looking at your neighbors now like that? Well, some of the girls are looking at their husbands and like, talking to you. I'm going to show you a quick video clip. Are you guys ready with that video clip? Just a bit to blow our minds more about how huge God is if we just look at what's happening around us. All the omniscient, I'm amazed by who God is, that he would be so humble and he would send his son to show his revelation and his heart, his character to us. And that's why our life, our understanding of God starts with the cross. It starts with the revelation of his son Christ, because that reveals the heart of God. And on this journey, there's this desire to say to God, God, yo, I don't just want to know your character, but I want to know your nature. I want to enter into that place where I believe that God is God. And you cannot do it in the natural. You cannot do it with your mind, because we live in an intellectual town where everybody tries to figure out things first before they engage their hearts. And God says, if you want to understand me, you must come with your heart first. You must come with your heart, that need that you have. And my question to you is, how big is your God and how open is your heart towards that God? Or do we just allow God in certain rooms of our houses? When we want to drink tea with him and we allow him in the front area and we say, yo, everything is packed here. Everything is nice here. But those back rooms, they are locked. There's a lot of stuff there. Maybe dark, there's stuff. But all I can say to you is God knows. And yet he's still not forcing himself on you and me and say, I want in, I want to change that, I want to. He comes and he says, I want to invite you to my life. I want to invite you to drink of living waters, that once you drink of that waters, you will never thirst again. But it takes a bit of humility from our sides to say, I don't know everything and I will never know everything. It takes a bit of, say, God, make me more hungry. Because I want to know you. I don't want to just do stuff around you. I don't just want to try to. But in your revelation as a father towards me, and there's some of us here today, you have not been fathered. Maybe your father has not been in your life. Maybe, and you sort of like resist God in certain ways because of the natural tendency that we have with our natural fathers. But God is your first, your original father. Did you know that? He said to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He said, I've got plans to prosper you and give you a future and a hope. That's God's heart for you. And will you stand with me this morning as we're going to just give God something that we haven't given him before. And before we're going to pray, I want you just to turn to the person next to you and just out of these stuff, omniscient, all-knowing, all this stuff, what is something that the Holy Spirit maybe showed you this morning that you realize like, whoa, just one thing. One thing that when you walk out here, you want to say, Lord, I want you to change my perception of you in this area. Because that's where it starts, just through humility, just through openness to say to God, God, I come to bow my knee to you. Because I'm here to serve you, to glorify you. So I want you to turn to somebody next to you, just quickly, if you are open to do that, and just say, wow, I've forgotten that God is all powerful in my life because I'm thrown by circumstances right now. And maybe you're like, yeah, no. Sometimes I feel alone. Sometimes I feel God is not with me. God doesn't know what's going on in my life. So quickly, will you just share with somebody next to you, if you're really honest, let's be honest with each other, because it only starts through humility. We learned that last week. So hallelujah. When you're finished, let's all stand, because we're gonna sing a song together. And we're gonna do it a bit different today. Okay, we all know this song, "The Splendor of Our King." How great is our God is the name for the people up there. We haven't warned them. "The splendor of our King, clothed in majesty." But then what we're going to do, we're going to do it a bit different, because some of us need to encourage each other. And when we say, "How great is our God," I want you to walk over to your neighbor, say, "Veinand, how great is our God?" Sing with me, come, we're going to sing. How great, oh, you're going to sing now? Okay, Veinand is going to do the prophetic dance here. Herman and Zayda. How great is your God? You don't need to say it over the mic, but we're going to walk around and say, "Sing with me. Come, let's sing it." Because sometimes we need to encourage each other and say, "Hey, you've forgotten. You've forgotten to see." So we're going to invite each other. So we're singing this song a little bit different. And I know for some of you, it's completely out of your comfort zone, but the doors are locked, okay? And we're going to encourage each other, because we forget. The Bible says, remind even God of His promises. Not because He forgets, but because we forget how big God is. Because we get trapped in our circumstances. That's why many times God would take somebody up onto a mountain to show them. God rarely spoke to people in a valley. Says, "Moses, come up here." Because when you're up there on the mountain, suddenly Stellenbosch looks a bit small. Like, whoa. When you're driving and you're so busy with everything down here, you get so trapped by just what you see around you. But when you're up there on the mountain where you're flying like an eagle, They're soaring high above. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Because they're up there. They've got the ability to see. See who God is. You know, when David ran against Goliath, he wasn't looking at Goliath. You can know that by his words. He said, I don't come to you in my own strength. I come to you in the name of the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of the host of the armies of heaven. He was looking up to God and seeing how big God is and how small Goliath is. He's thinking like, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? You're looking at me, I'm looking at God. And there's some of us that needs a bit of just aligning ourselves again to who God says He is in your life. There's some of us that have forgotten promises God has spoken over your life. You're trapped by fear, you're trapped by anxiety, you're trapped by your circumstances, and you've allowed those things to determine your faith, to determine who God says He is. And maybe it's real, maybe it's a disappointment, maybe it's somebody that died, maybe it's somebody that's sick at the moment, maybe there's a real discouragement in your life and you just cannot feel God because you feel like, wow, Lord, this thing, maybe it's an offense, maybe you got hurt in church through a relationship, and then He's got a healing in His wings. He wants to heal you this morning because He comes as a father. Doesn't come and put His feet down here and say, I'm God and you better submit. He says, come. If you're heavy laden, come. If you're weary, come. Take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. There's some of you that need to come into the rest of God this morning. Just be with Him. You don't need to do, just be with Him. Just worship Him. It's the name above every name. Worthy of our praise. How great is our God. So Holy Spirit, this morning as we sing this song, I pray that scales will fall from eyes. Healings will enter. Physical, emotional healings. Deliver us from evil. Set us free from the yoke of slavery, Lord. As we see You, as we look to You, Father, we pray that You open the eyes of our understanding. Oh, Lord, birth a hunger, birth a desire, birth a... Lord, that we have birth pains to know You. Oh, we want to know You, Lord. We want to know the power of Your resurrection. We want to know the fellowship of Your sufferings. We want to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Lord, the world wants us to conform to the world, but we say no. If you are sick in your body, we'd love to pray with you today. If you would just come to the front, we're going to anoint you with oil. The elders are here, they're going to anoint you with oil, and some of the small group leaders. If you need emotional healing today, Jesus is the healer. He doesn't just do healings. Jesus is here. You get set free, you get healed. We need deliverance today. Maybe there's voices. There's a lady here that for the last 9 months there's been so much voices in your head, and God wants to set you free, wants to break the yoke of slavery, wants to open the prison doors. And then there's one group here today, you feel very lonely. You feel very lonely. There's this thing in your life that you just feel like, I'm actually all alone. Nobody takes care of me. Nobody wants to. Nobody. But there's an assignment on your life, and we need to break that assignment. So while the people needing physical and emotional healing, or maybe you're here, you don't know Jesus, I want you to come to this side. But if you can identify with that loneliness, that thing that just sometimes, especially over weekends or long weekends or holidays, you fear those. You just don't want to go there. Even if there are people around you, there's something in your heart. You're afraid of being abandoned. You're afraid of being illegitimate. You're afraid of... There's a deep thing in your life that the Lord wants to heal, but He wants to be that Father that comes to put His arms around you and say, you're going to be okay. You're not going to be alone from today on. You're not going to be alone. We prayed for a girl on the first year's camp. She couldn't sleep for many months. Now she has to set an alarm. She cannot wake up in the morning. She's a first year. She cannot wake up in the morning. I said, we'll buy you three more. Because it's amazing when the Prince of Peace walks into your life and he speaks his healing. And he says, I'm going to stand next to your bed. I'm going to heal you. You're never going to have those dreams again. So we're going to first just encourage each other to sing together. I know some of us can't sing that well like me, but that's all right. Just sing binnes mond, okay? Just sing inside your mouth, but just sing with your heart, sing with your life. Thank you, Lord.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.